this song we're singing right now was made by women in prison for women in prison because of the hard things that they were going through in there. A lot of abuse. There's a lot of abuse happening in our women's prisons, and so this was made by the women to help them get through those hard times. Next song we're singing is the Warrior Woman song, and it comes from the Lilwa Nation in British Columbia, and it came to a woman in her time when her daughter needed healing, and they were told to sing these songs and it would bring healing. This song was also sung during the Idle No More movements around 2011, 2012, when a lot of people were showing up to fight for injustices, and this song is the Warrior Woman song.
Thank you. want you guys to come in and listen.
This song, the last song we're going to sing is the water song that comes from the Anishinaabe people up in Great Lakes, Minnesota. With the belief that if you've heard of Dr. Emoto's water experiment, the water experiment, they said mean hateful words to one glass of water and kind loving words to another glass of water, and over a period of time froze it, looked under the microscope, and they seen the difference between saying mean negative words to one glass of water, which looked dark and murky, and the other glass of water that they had looked under microscope turned into beautiful crystals. That experiment and that research that was gathered shows how important our words are and how powerful our words are. That we have the power. We have the power to make things happen through our words. And when we come together collectively and we work together as one in unity, our words are more powerful. And so this song we sing that we'll leave you with today is the Anishinaabe Water Song. Thank you, everyone. On behalf of Indigenous Justice, thank you.
All right. Good morning, everyone. If I could please have all these beautiful department heads, board of supervisors, mayoral representatives, community representatives all join us here next to the podium and represent our amazing city and county of San Francisco. If I could have our commissioners, who I see straight ahead, join us here so we could stand together and begin our event. Thank you. So I'd like to say, first off, what a beautiful anthem of this country that we were blessed with these women singing today. So I want to see if we could please give a round of applause to the Red Lightning Power women that came to bless us today. So good morning, everyone, and welcome. Thank you all for joining us today. Once again, we are honored for the representation of Indigenous peoples and Indigenous women as we begin today's event. And so we say thank you to those first people, and we gather today. Before we begin, we always acknowledge the unceded Ohlone land in the city and county of San Francisco. And so we're honored to not only acknowledge Indigenous people, but the original stewards of this land. Why? Because their leadership, their resiliency, and their continued presence has grounded us for the collective responsibility of justice, dignity, and self-determination. So we are honored to have their anthem as we stand on Ohlone land. So thank you once again. We really appreciate your support. Thank you everybody for joining us today. Before I actually introduce the program and introduce myself and the amazing people out there, I want to go ahead and acknowledge our staff who made possible this event and worked tirelessly for the last couple of weeks, if not months, to ensure that we were going to stand up today for reproductive freedom. So I want to acknowledge them. And why are we here? We are here to acknowledge the importance to continue standing up for reproductive freedom. I'm going to say reproductive, and you say freedom. And we are going to start acknowledging why we're here. So if I say reproductive, you say freedom. Freedom. If I say reproductive, you say
freedom.
If I say reproductive, you say
freedom.
That's right. Thank you. Give yourselves an applause. That's why we're here today. So my name is Dr. Diana Arroche, and I have the honor of being the executive director of the San Francisco Department on the Status of Women. Our department is proud to have worked very closely at organizing today's event and co-sponsoring with individuals that are the leadership of our city. We are happy to co-sponsor this event with Mayor Daniel Lurie, the Mayor's Office, Supervisor Myrna Melgar, Planned Parenthood of Northern California, and the Human Rights Commission. Thank you, and let's give them absolutely a round of applause. We'd also like to thank our Board of Supervisors, the District Attorney's Office, the District Attorney, who will be joining us shortly, City Attorney David Chu, who I've already seen next to my right. Deputy Counsel Brianna Voss, who is our Deputy Counsel. Thank you, Brianna, for always protecting us and still moving the needle forward. Sheriff Miyamoto, the Sheriff's Department. I also see Dr. Daniel Tsai from our Department of Public Health. We're looking forward to all the work DPH will continue doing with us. Thank you for joining us. And I also want to acknowledge all our city partners that are here, including the Office of Transgender Initiatives and all the representatives that you see here. I also want to give a special acknowledgement to, first and foremost, those providers, community providers that open the door every single day to ensure that we have reproductive health and freedom in our city and county of San Francisco. So why are we here today, aside from what I mentioned? Today we recognize the anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision, Roe v. Wade. 53 years later, yes, there have been attacks. Yes, there have been losses. But are we still standing here?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. And we still honor the legacy of our grandmothers, our aunts, our sisters, those who fought every single day in the early 1970s, if not for generations as indigenous people, to ensure that we have reproductive health and freedom today. So if I say reproductive, you say?
Freedom.
If I say reproductive, you say?
Freedom.
Thank you. And despite those attempts to dismantle the women's reproductive rights, we are gathered today in the spirit to reaffirm San Francisco's commitment. Not only to reaffirm the commitment to reproductive justice, but ensure that our freedom and rights, alongside with our city attorney having our back at all times, that we continue moving forward and defending the work that we need to have for reproductive health and access for all individuals in the city and county of San Francisco. So today, leaders, we defend and ensure that our bodily autonomy, our right to contraception, our right to abortion care, our fundamental right to have full scope reproductive health services are not only guaranteed, but they are defended as we stand here today. So why this matters? Because your voices matter, because our care matters, and our future matters. Today I stand for my daughter, for my nieces, for all the individuals that are out there that are protecting every single day in and out. We need to fight for our reproductive health and freedom, and we need to defend what we fought for generations. Each and every one of us matter, and it is an honor to stand with that fight and that team that's going to continue making sure that we have all our rights and our freedom every single day moving forward. I'd like to start off with our program, if we may. Do we have all our speakers here? Great. Perfect timing. Great. So I want to start off first off with acknowledging our amazing mayor, who's walking up, and our first lady, Leda Becca Prouda. So if I could have you both stand next to me. Thank you. Right there. I'd like to first acknowledge our first lady of San Francisco. Welcome. Welcome. I want to share a little bit of a story that we worked really closely with one of our advisors under the mayor's cabinet, and we asked the first lady to attend. And without a hesitation, she said, absolutely, I am here for women, and I am here to continue defending and representing San Francisco. So thank you very much for your time. Thank you for your leadership. And today, we stand with all city leadership, and we include you as part of that. So thank you very much for your support. I also want to share a little story before I introduce our mayor here. On October 7th, I was honored to be sworn in as the executive director of the Department on the Status of Women. On that day, I remember sharing with the mayor, Mayor, are we ready to fight for reproductive justice? I'm so ready to be committed. I'm so ready to move forward with reproductive freedom for our city. Are we going to continue our legacy? Are we going to continue our work? I'm born and raised here in San Francisco. And you know what he said? He said, let's go. And so with that, I have the honor to introduce our mayor of the city and county of San Francisco, standing side by side with the first lady, Becca Prouda, Mayor Daniel Lurie.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. I appreciate everybody being here. As we gather here today to mark the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, we are here to affirm that every person has the right to make decisions about their own body and their own future. Today is also an opportunity to recognize our reality. Across the country, women's rights are under attack. Since the Supreme Court overturned Roe, we've seen states move aggressively to restrict access to abortion and even criminalize health care. These actions threaten not only individual freedom, but women's health, equality, and opportunity. San Francisco stands firmly against that tide. We are and will remain a city that protects and expands reproductive freedom. In 2024, our voters, we the people, overwhelmingly passed Proposition O, making it clear that here in San Francisco, we refuse to cooperate with out-of-state prosecutions, and we will protect personal health information because privacy is non-negotiable. These policies send a clear message. San Francisco will protect reproductive health and women's rights. San Francisco continues to ensure access while eliminating barriers. The city has made it easier to build clinics and find medical services, including culturally competent reproductive health care, through our Department of Public Health. Access to contraception and abortion care are basic and essential health care needs. They empower individuals to determine when, how, and if they choose to have a family. Ensuring access to these essential services is foundational to economic opportunity, community stability, and a safer, healthier San Francisco. So today, as we honor the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, we reaffirm our commitment. San Francisco will continue to lead, to protect, and to fight for reproductive rights, for our residents, and as a part of a national movement for justice and equality. I want to thank Supervisor Melgar and the entire Board of Supervisors, the Department on the Status of Women, the Human Rights Commission, District Attorney Jenkins, City Attorney David Chu, city agencies, including our public health, our community-based organizations, and Planned Parenthood Northern California for their leadership and partnership. I want to thank all of you for commemorating what would have marked the 53rd anniversary of Roe v. Wade and for standing together in defense of reproductive rights and reproductive freedom. Those are San Francisco's values today, and they will be every day going forward. Thank you all very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. Are we excited? Do we feel committed? Our executive of our entire city said, what are we gonna do? We are protecting the right for reproductive freedom. So I wanna give another applause to our leadership, to our executive of our entire city, our mayor, and of course his first lady, because we know that partners make it happen, okay? So that is the side-by-side nighttime conversation that needs to happen to continue moving it forward. So thank you, First Lady. So I would like to now, I have the honor to also welcome a very dear friend of mine, a long-term ally of reproductive freedom and justice, someone who has fought tirelessly, someone who represents Salvadorian roots, which I have to acknowledge as a Salvadorian. And someone who continues to fight closely every day to ensure that women's rights and reproductive freedom is discussed and protected for women, girls, and non-binary communities here in the city and county of San Francisco. In fact, this month, I will not spoil it, but this month, we had a deep commitment that this supervisor moved forward at the Board of Supervisors to acknowledge today and to continue making sure that we have the right for reproductive freedom in San Francisco. So I'd like to introduce our dear friend and our leader at the Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Myrna Melgar.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, Dr. Aroche. Thank you, everyone, for being here and standing up today, united, with our collective fight to uphold reproductive rights and justice. I also want to acknowledge my colleagues here today, Supervisor Connie Chan, Supervisors Cheryl Sauter, Supervisor Walton. I see Supervisor Chen perhaps coming. Thank you so much for being here. We as a board unanimously passed a resolution officially commemorating the Roe v. Wade decision. We reaffirmed our city and our values. We will not back down from upholding those values, protecting reproductive freedom in abortion care. I am a mother of three girls. I want them and all our young people to know that their health and their safety matters. It matters, regardless of what they're doing on the national level. San Francisco will always protect our rights to access health care and bodily autonomy. Today, we stand together not to mourn, but to mobilize. This causes action. The Roe v. Wade decision remains a powerful reminder of the role we can play on the local level, that the rollbacks need to be counteracted nationally. Local governments are on the front lines. San Francisco will do what we have always done. Stand at the forefront of freedom. We will protect reproductive freedom. In 2024, you may remember that we passed Proposition O. Thank you, San Francisco. Proposition O, which was an effort with Planned Parenthood, cemented the infrastructure that we need to support the full range of reproductive rights and health services. San Francisco continues to reaffirm this clearly, publicly. Reproductive freedom, bodily autonomy, privacy, reproductive justice remain our core values here in the city. We will actively defend it. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, First Lady Prada. In San Francisco, our health matters. You deserve unobstructed access to care. We will hold accountable those who interfere with patients, with providers. We have coordinated protocols. Thank you, Police Department. Thank you, District Attorney, Department of Public Health, all the other agencies that make part of this infrastructure, that we will ensure accountability for those who violate clinic access, safety laws, that makes clear that our city resources, personnel, data will not be used to assist out-of-state investigation. All the crazy things they're doing crazy things. Legal actions will be taken to protect our freedoms. What has been happening is not just a rollback of our fundamental rights. It is a clear attack on women, non-binary people. I hate to say this, but we have work to do here. Even with all of our commitment, our actions, our mobilization, we still have a long way to go. It's not enough. We need to build a future. We need to build what we're fighting for. We need to center women's issues in our policymaking, in our budgeting, in the way that we run our services. It is the only way to achieve gender equity and justice. For all of those folks who fight for freedom, for social justice, for equity, the face of poverty in California is a woman. It is usually a woman of color, a Latina, a single mom with a bunch of kids that we have to feed. So I want to thank the Department of the Status of Women, especially our new director, Dr. Aroche, her entire staff, the Commission on the Status of Women, all the present and past commissioners who are here, Planned Parenthood, the healthcare providers working in partnership with the Department of Public Health and our city attorney for their leadership and steadfast work defending reproductive freedom for women and girls. We stand proud with women and girls. And I look forward to fighting alongside with all of you to advance a policy platform that supports the health, the economic progress, the public safety, the leadership of women and non-binary people. And now I want to bring up our next speaker, who is also a friend and a fighter for women and for the leadership of women, our district attorney, Brooke Jenkins. Come on. I still have nice things to say about you. Brooke sees, I know, fellow Salvi, Salvi pride. Brooke sees the district attorney's office as a place where justice is pursued, including reproductive justice. Her office is a member of the California Reproductive Task Force, and she has supported the creation of the city's Bay Area Abortion Rights Council. Welcome, District Attorney Jenkins.
Thank you so much, Dr. Aroche, for putting this together, for bringing us here. Thank you to the mayor, to Supervisor Melgar, to all of our partners for standing together with community on this. My commitment since the beginning has been to defend the rights of those not only who provide the care to our communities, but those who are seeking health care each and every day in clinics across San Francisco. We know that there are laws in our state and that protect our rights to access this care, and that far too often we see people violating those rights by harassing, stalking, and threatening those who are seeking care and those who are providing that care. And so my office is committed to standing firm in enforcing our laws that protect those doctors, those nurses, those clinic workers who have had to suffer far too long with the threat of violence and even assaults happening. And to make it clear to those who need care that you don't have to hide, You don't have to be scared. You can get the care that you need. But I don't just stand before you as the district attorney. I stand before you as a woman and as a mother who had to make a very difficult decision myself when I was confronted with having an ectopic pregnancy that needed to be terminated in order to protect my own life and my own health. And under this administration, under this ruling, even the termination of pregnancies that are dangerous to a woman's life are illegal. And that is something this country must address, cannot stand for, and has to do something about. As you've heard, we have the right to the health care that we need as women, and nothing should stand in our way. And so thank you to everybody who's come together to continue to push this fight. It feels like this issue has fallen down the ladder because we know there are many other things going on in this country, but we have to keep it at the forefront of people's minds, and we have to continue to press this issue. So thank you. You will always have me standing with you, and let's keep up the fight.
Thank you again to our fierce District Attorney Jenkins. Thank you for your fierce Salvadorian and African-American lineage and leadership and all those ancestors you bring into this fight. So thank you very much, DA. Our next speaker, I want to introduce first that our community relies on the network of providers that are, again, at the forefront of reproductive health care. Our partners at Planned Parenthood provide an essential health care ranging from cancer screenings, STI screenings, to contraception, to abortion care, gender-affirming care, and many other services that at times, during this time, individuals in our city and county do not feel safe but to go to Planned Parenthood. Every day this team shows up. With all the myriad of ways people are being attacked, they show up every single day in their clinics to provide the care that we need. They provide bilingual services. They provide free testing. And today, we are grateful for Planned Parenthood Northern California to not only be represented, but to have the CEO and president, Dr. Nicole Barnett, for being here with us today and sharing a couple of words. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Dr. Roche. Thank you, Mayor, for having us here today. And I just want to thank my team who's here today, our volunteers, our San Francisco Health Center leadership, and everyone who's out here with us today. Good morning, San Francisco. 53 years ago, Roe v. Wade affirmed a simple but revolutionary idea that our bodies belong to us, that our future should be shaped by our own values, our own circumstances, and most importantly, by our own dreams. But Roe was never just about one court decision. It opened the door to a broader reproductive justice movement, one that recognized that true freedom means the ability to decide if, when, and how to build your family, and to do so with dignity, with safety, and most of all, with support. That promise has always belonged to every single person in this nation, whether we be women, trans and non-binary people, LGBTQ plus communities, people of color, immigrants, youth, all those who have historically been left out of the healthcare system. Roe helped people to claim their bodily autonomy. It gave people the power to choose their futures. And it made clear that healthcare is not just a privilege, it is a human right. And unfortunately today, that right is under direct and deliberate attack. Planned Parenthood health centers have been defunded and targeted, and it's not because of what we do, right? Let's make that clear. It really is because of who we serve and what we stand for. These attacks are designed to strip people of care. They're designed to silence our providers and to literally turn back the clock on decades of progress. But let me be absolutely clear, we are still standing. Right. At Planned Parenthood Northern California, we are meeting this moment with resilience, with courage, and with resolve. We are strengthening community partnerships. We are keeping doors open for our patients, no matter what. And because this fight is not only about today, it's about our future. It's about ensuring that the next generation inherits more freedom and not less freedom, more power over their lives and not fear, more access to care and not barriers to care. And that is why it means so much to me to be standing here with all of you and these partners across our great city. San Francisco's leaders, advocates, and community members have always understood that protecting reproductive freedom requires action and not just words. We are a place that shows the entire nation what is possible when we lead with courage and when we lead with conviction. So today, we are collectively renewing that commitment to bodily autonomy, to justice, and to the belief that everyone deserves freedom to decide their own future. Together, we honor Roe, not just by remembering it, but by carrying that promise forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Barnett, and we are fighting with you. We will fight standing side by side for reproductive
freedom.
For reproductive
freedom.
Thank you so much. I also want to acknowledge really quickly, we have Joaquin Torres, our city assessor, who's in the house. We have our Department of Police Accountability Director, Paul Henderson, I see as well. We have also our public defender, Manu. Where are you? Here we go. We have our supervisors who have been joining us. And I also want to acknowledge our fire chief, our firefighters who are here today in uniform representing that they also stand with us. Thank you so much, Chief, for standing here with us. And finally, before I introduce the next speaker and someone that's amazing that I can't wait for you to hear from, I also want to acknowledge that we come from the long lineage of women that are part of our Commission on the Status of Women and have actually fought for the last 5 decades for our rights here in San Francisco. If I could have you wave those commissioners that have existed from the past that are attending and those that are here today that are our current leadership. Thank you so much for your leadership every day. The next person I'd like to introduce is someone that is an outstanding ally and leader on reproductive justice. Someone that has fought tirelessly with their team to ensure that every single person in the city and county of San Francisco has the right to not only abortion healthcare, but to the right of all healthcare in the city and county of San Francisco. That person is our city attorney, David Chu, who I will dare say is probably the best city attorney I have ever met, if I could say that. He has launched the Legal Alliance for Reproductive Rights and has filed numerous cases defending us here in the city and county of San Francisco. So to the best city attorney around, welcome, David Chu.
Thank you, Dr. Roche. With that introduction, I'm just going to go back to my office. Good morning, San Francisco. Thank you for representing the beautiful mosaic that is our human race here on the steps of City Hall. And let me ask, are we ready to fight?
Yes.
Are we ready to stand with Planned Parenthood?
Yes.
Are we ready to defend our reproductive freedoms?
Yes.
Thank you for being here. Today, we should be celebrating the 53rd anniversary of Roe versus Wade. But instead, our country is experiencing the most precarious time for reproductive rights in our lifetimes, at a time when 23 states have completely banned or severely limited abortions, when women in states with bans are almost twice as likely to die during pregnancy or childbirth, in a country where maternity mortality is triple the rate of other higher income countries. Let me share that a reason that I became your city attorney has to do with this fight. 11 years ago, as a legislator, I was asked by NARAL to author the Reproductive Fact Act to address the deception by hundreds of fake pregnancy centers in our state. Our law was upheld in 4 of 4 district courts, unanimously upheld in the Ninth Circuit. During the Obama years, when we took those rights for granted. And then someone was elected to be the so-called president of our United States. And Donald Trump appointed his first justice, and My Little Law became the first pro-choice target of the new Trump Supreme Court majority. And that was when I decided that I needed to get back into the courtroom. I want to thank all of the incredible advocates, policymakers, health practitioners who are here. But particularly, I want to thank our lawyers. Every person here at City Hall remembers where you were the moment Roe v. Wade was overturned. I will tell you, I put my first phone call to Yolanda Jackson, who leads our San Francisco Bar Association. And we put out a call on the steps of City Hall. Our office, the Bar Association, launched the Legal Alliance for Reproductive Rights, and 70 law firms around the Bay answered that call to provide pro bono help to patients and providers throughout our entire country. In our office, we organized a reproductive rights working group who track the landscape, who advise our mayor and policymakers and practitioners, who draft laws like Prop O, and I also serve as a member of our Attorney General's Reproductive Rights Task Force. And let me tell you, we bring the fights to our courts. Of the 14 lawsuits our office has filed against the Trump administration, 3 have involved anti-choice policies that impact the access to health care, reproductive access, whether it has to do with those who live in our public housing, who take advantage of our infrastructure. Our office has joined amicus briefs to support access to mifepristone, a patient's right to choose her provider, the fact that Planned Parenthood clinics are being stripped of Medicaid funding, and to protect abortion during medical emergencies. But let me also acknowledge those who are responsible for overturning Roe, who are men. Donald Trump, Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, John Roberts. Gloria Steinem reminded us that if men could get pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament. Amen. Too many men are responsible for the travesty of reproductive rights today. And male allies have a moral responsibility to this movement to bring Roe v. Wade back. And so in conclusion, I want to tell you, as your city attorney, if they're going to come after your rights, they're going to have to come through my office and through me and our mayor and everyone who is standing here. During this Handmaid's Tale moment, when reproductive freedoms are at stake, San Francisco will always be a haven for abortion care and reproductive freedoms. And you should know that my lawyers and I are going to fight as long as the courtrooms are open and as long as the rule of law and our democracy still exists. Let's do this together.
Thank you so much. So I'd like to first thank our mayor, that's very busy, and he will continue fighting for us, and our first lady who continues to stand here with us. So thank you again for joining us this morning. I also like to thank City Attorney David Chu for your tireless work, for defending reproductive rights, but also for defending immigration rights in this city and county of San Francisco. So thank you so much for the work that you do and the tireless work of all the attorneys. I'd like to also introduce someone that has worked with me tirelessly for many decades, but is also now an ally, someone that I work side by side with. I'd like to introduce our Human Rights Director, Mouly Toubignon.
Reproductive rights are human rights. Say it with me, don't make me do it by myself. Reproductive rights are human rights. One more time, reproductive rights are human rights. Thank you, everybody. My name is Mouly Toubignon. I have the honor of serving as the director of the San Francisco Human Rights Commission. For more than 60 years, the Human Rights Commission has fought to protect the civil rights of all people in San Francisco and to ensure that all communities are included in the prosperity of this great city. Ensuring the foundational right to access health care, including comprehensive, affordable, and culturally competent reproductive health care wherever and whenever it is needed, is critical for all people. This includes abortion care, contraception, prenatal and maternal care, fertility and gender-affirming care. These services save lives. These services support families, and they uphold the basic right of every person to make decisions about their own body and their future. Restrictions on reproductive care disproportionately harm Black, Indigenous, and other communities of color. They hurt low-income communities, immigrants, young people, people with disabilities, LGBTQ communities. Fighting for reproductive freedom means fighting for equity, and that is at the heart of human rights work. I am the father of two young girls, and by the time they are aware of what reproductive freedom is, I hope that they do not have to worry about it, that they don't have to think about it. So I just want to thank all of you for standing up for them, for standing up for yourselves, for the people of this city. Thank you so much. And now I have the honor of introducing my colleague at the Human Rights Commission, Director of the Office of Transgender Initiatives, Honey Mahogany.
All right, do we believe in access to abortions? Yes. Do we believe in reproductive health care?
Yes.
Do we believe in health care for all people?
Yes.
Do we believe in women's rights?
Yes.
Do we believe in trans rights?
Yes.
Do we believe in human rights?
Yes.
And do we believe in San Francisco?
Yes.
That is why we are all here today to commemorate the passing of Roe v. Wade. It should be 53 going on 54 years, and yet we have seen step by step, drip by drip, the way in which our rights have been under attack in this country. As someone who grew up here in San Francisco as a child of refugees, I am incredibly grateful to be here in this sanctuary city within a sanctuary state, to be somewhere where our leaders believe in human rights, believe in equity, believe that we all should be able to access the life-saving healthcare that we need. I am currently the director of the Office of Transgender Initiatives, and so I know a lot about what is happening across this country as it relates to trans issues. For example, 2 years ago, they were already passing 800 anti-trans bills across this country. Last year, it was over 1,000, and this year, who knows what they're going to do. The Lemkin Institute, a leader on genocide studies, on genocides across this globe, previous presidents have come out to say that here in the United States, we are in the early to mid stages of a genocide against transgender people. And as terrible as that is for transgender people, all of us here today need to make the connections between the fight for trans rights and the fight for human rights. You know, a few years ago, there was someone who at a conservative conference said we need to eradicate transgenderism in this country. And you know what they're saying now? They're saying that feminism is a form of transgenderism. So I will leave you with this. When we forget, when we ignore the attacks on our most vulnerable communities, whether it be the taking away of rights for transgender people, whether it be the murder and disappearance of Indigenous women, whether it be the caging of immigrants, the plight of Black people in this country, or the plight of women, we are only hurting ourselves. But I'll tell you this. I believe in the people that are here at this rally today. I believe in the people of San Francisco and of California. And still, I believe in the American people, that there are enough of us who believe that human rights apply to all of us, that there are enough of us who will be willing to take a stand and take our democracy back and protect the least of us, those who are most vulnerable in this time when they are under attack. Are you with me?
Yes.
San Francisco, I said, are you with me?
Yes.
Well, we've got work to do. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Director Mahogany, and we will fight with you. We will definitely fight. We are committed. The next speaker I'd like to introduce is someone that has worked tirelessly to continue making sure that the HIV community and women and immigrants continue to get the healthcare services that they need here today. She has also served many roles as the first trans chair of the Human Rights Commission and is currently the first trans woman on the Commission on the Status of Women. Please, excuse me, the second, thank you, the second trans woman on the Commission on the Status of Women. Please welcome Commissioner Chung.
Thank you, Dr. Roche, and good morning, everyone. Roe v. Wade is often described as a women's issue or national legal debate, but at the core, it has always been about something broader. The right to bodily autonomy and medical privacy. That principle matters deeply to transgender and non-binary people, and it matters here at home in San Francisco. Not everyone who can become pregnant identifies as woman, and transgender men and some binary people also face decisions about pregnancy, often while navigating stigma, discriminations, or barriers to respectful and affirming healthcare. Roe helped ensure that those decisions could be made privately, with doctors not dictating by the state, for people who already feel vulnerable to medical settings, that protection matters. More broadly, Roe rested on the idea that the government should not control deeply personal choices about our bodies and our futures. That idea is essential for transgender and non-binary people whose lives often involve medical decisions tied to identity, health, and dignity. When the state claims power over one form of bodily autonomy, it raises real fears about where that power might expand next. For San Francisco residents, this issue carries particular weight. This city has long stood for inclusion, that's not a dirty word, reproductive freedom, and LGBTQI healthcare access. Roe reflected those values. Its overturning was a reminder that even in progressive communities, rights exist within a national legal system and cannot be taken for granted. Ultimately, Roe v. Wade matters because it asks a fundamental question. Who gets to decide what happens to our bodies? For women, for transgender and non-binary people, and for communities like San Francisco, the answer has lasting consequences for freedom, safety, and dignity. So please repeat after me when I say my body and you say my choice. Okay. My body.
My choice.
Our body.
My choice.
My body.
My choice.
Thank you. Oh, and I have to introduce them.
Great. Thank you so much, Commissioner Chung, and thank you for reminding us that we need to continue fighting for all communities. The next speaker I'd like to introduce is someone that has also worked tirelessly, has actually dedicated a lot of time to be able to continue ensuring that we have policy at the forefront and that we continue talking about human rights on an ongoing basis, advocating for young people, including violence prevention, food insecurity, and improved language access. I'd like to introduce our Human Rights Commission Chair, Leah Pimentel.
Good morning, everyone. I'm honored to stand with you all here today. Today should be a day of celebration. We should be celebrating the 53rd anniversary of Roe versus Wade, but we're not. because they rolled back that decision in 2022, and that determined why we're here today. We must stand together to make sure that we don't have restrictions and criminalize ad surveillance that will disproportionately harm women, girls, marginalized communities, including Black, Indigenous, Latina, and immigrant populations. Our collective advocacy reminds us that local governments are on the forefront as we honor the legacy of Roe versus Wade. As a mother of a young daughter, I recognize our voices, our care, and that our future matters. Together, we must continue to fight for the future for reproductive justice to make sure that it is a reality for everyone, that everyone has a right over their bodies so they can choose as they rightfully should. Thank you. And I have the honor of introducing our next speaker, our Youth Commissioner, Tay Leon Amor. She is a third term on the San Francisco Youth Commission and currently serves as vice chair. She has been on the Transformative Justice Committee for all 3 years of her term, advocating for issues that directly impact young people, including violence prevention, food insecurity, and improvement to language access. Additionally, she has been and will continue to be a steadfast advocate for reproductive rights, especially in the wake of the overturn of Roe versus Wade. Welcome.
Thank you for that lovely introduction. Hello, all. My name is Taya Lone Amir, and I am the Vice Chair of the San Francisco Youth Commission. Today is January 22nd, 2026, 53 years after the landmark Roe v. Wade decision that declared that the U.S. Constitution protects a woman's right to an abortion. For nearly 50 years, abortion was recognized as a fundamental constitutional right and affirmed the ability of individuals to make personal health care decisions free from unwanted government interference. But now, the world has changed. Reproductive rights aren't protected anymore. 4 years ago, the Roe decision was overturned by the Supreme Court. This decision impacted millions of women, girls, and non-binary people who have now seen their body autonomy diminish. As a 17-year-old woman, I feel extremely grateful to live in San Francisco, where my right to choose is protected by California's state laws and constitution. But other girls my age around the country do not have that benefit. Even as young San Franciscans, my peers and I are not immune to the direct impact of the overturning of Roe. As a high school senior, I am currently trying to figure out where I'm going to college next year. Instead of solely focusing on the academic and social aspects of the schools I might call home, I must also take into account whether that school's location will eliminate my rights as a woman. This is not an issue that I and my friends ever thought we would have to take into account in 2026. But that is the country we live in, a country where around two-thirds of teenage girls in the United States have to worry about whether their choice in living will impact their access to reproductive care and their right to choose, and over 70% consider reproductive health care access when choosing a college. This is why this commemoration is essential. With it, we are saying that the current status quo is unacceptable and that San Francisco will always stand on the side of women's rights. But this commemoration is not the end. We must keep fighting. For the 25-year-old that has just been turned away from a Planned Parenthood because they won't provide her with the service she has a right to receive. For the teenage girl needing access to reproductive care in a state that denies her. For all the women in our lives, moms, daughters, family members, and friends. For all of us. Help us fight for a country where no person has to live in fear that their reproductive rights and body autonomy will be taken away, and where the right to choose is a right, not a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's our future leader and our current youth leadership. Can we give her a round of applause? Thank you. The next person I'd like to introduce is someone that has worked tirelessly to advocate from issues across the globe. The next speaker that we have, and stay with us, we have an amazing two more speakers coming up, but this speaker you need to hear. Her name is Nadia Rahman.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. In preparing to speak today, I thought deeply about what I could possibly share with you all on the issue of reproductive freedom that would be incremental to the esteemed speakers that we've heard from this morning. I reached out to a relative of mine who is a physician. She's an obstetric anesthesiologist who specializes in providing anesthesia and pain management for pregnant patients before, during, and after childbirth. She's intimately familiar with the fact that abortion rights are an issue of life and death. And as a healthcare worker, she sees that in her work every single day. She told me about her top concerns, which included her patients developing infections, sepsis, and dying from not being able to get the care that they need, such as in the case of an incomplete miscarriage, when there is still a heartbeat present. As of today, 7 states across the country have heartbeat laws which effectively outlaw abortion at only 5 to 6 weeks of pregnancy. And the reality is that maternal deaths in states with abortion bans have risen. Mothers in abortion ban states are nearly twice as likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than those in states where abortion remains accessible. Another concern for healthcare workers is being put at risk for being charged with a crime, being put in prison, and having their credentials revoked for performing abortions, whether that is part of a care team performing abortions or prescribing abortion pills. The criminal and civil risk that has had a chilling effect on those providing this type of health care. And the result is that the people who need that care the most, often the most disenfranchised, the most marginalized, and the most vulnerable, with the most limited options and access, are the ones that suffer. Abortion is health care, abortion is reproductive freedom, and abortion is a right that everyone should have access to. I'm grateful to live in California and in San Francisco, a state and city that takes these rights seriously. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nadia, for your work. The last speaker is someone also that has worked tirelessly in our city and county of San Francisco. We'd like to welcome Amy Moy, the co-CEO of Essential Health, and congratulate her on her appointment to the Governor's Protect Access to Healthcare Access Stakeholder Advisory Committee. Welcome, Amy, our final speaker. Please welcome us.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so delighted to be able to be with you all and stand in community and solidarity with you all today. You know, this week marks 53 years since Roe v. Wade affirmed the constitutional right to abortion care and 1 year since President Trump's inauguration. A moment that ushered in renewed attacks on reproductive health, bodily autonomy, and the freedom for all members of our communities to control their own futures. Right now, we are at a crossroads. One path leads backwards, and the other toward a bold and more just and equitable future for all. The future is shaped by the choices and the that we make and the actions that we take today. Since Roe was overturned in 2022 and 1 year into the Trump administration, the reproductive health landscape has changed dramatically. Across the country, millions now live in states where abortion is banned or severely restricted. Clinics have closed. Patients travel hundreds of miles to get care. Providers have been stripped of critical funding sources, and in some regions face criminal penalties for just doing their jobs. and longstanding programs like Title X, which ensure access to contraception and preventive care for people with low incomes, have been repeatedly targeted and weakened. Now, these aren't just policy debates. These are the daily realities that people face as they navigate when or whether to have children under already strenuous climates in this country. History also reminds us of this. Progress has never been permanent without people defending it. The now undermined Roe decision was the result of decades of organizing, storytelling, courage, and collective care. So today, we choose not only to remember and grieve what has been lost, but to recommit to what we must build together moving forward. Since the overturning of Roe, California has led the way nationwide in protecting and expanding abortion access. But even here in San Francisco and in California, we are not immune to these unrelenting attacks. It is essential for California and our local leaders to continue to boldly protect the progress that we've made in expanding access to equitable abortion care and uphold the state and region's legacy as a beacon of hope and a safe haven for reproductive freedom. Now, abortion is health care. When I say abortion is, you say health care. Abortion is?
Health care.
Abortion is?
Health care.
Abortion is?
Health care.
And let me be clear. Policies that deny access are inhumane and dangerous, and extreme bans and restrictions are state-sanctioned violence against people who can get pregnant and strip them of bodily autonomy and put their lives at risk. So this moment calls for more than reflection. It calls for resolve. As somebody who has been in this fight for a long time, but more importantly, as a mother of a teen daughter and as a woman who has had an abortion, I ask you to speak up, show up, support the front lines, and stay engaged and keep speaking the truth. Because 53 years after Roe and 1 year into an administration intent on rolling back hard-won rights, the truth is clear. Our future depends on what we do now together. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Amy. And again, when I say reproductive, you say?
Freedom.
When I say reproductive, you say?
Freedom.
When I say reproductive, what do we stand for? Thank you so much. I'm the Executive Director of the Department on the Status of Women. I'd like to thank you on behalf of the department. You see the lovely staff with the shirts. Please thank them for all the work. And we encourage you to please join us to the stage for a photo op to conclude our event. Thank you to all the speakers. Thank you to our president of our commission and all the city leadership that's here present. We'd also like to thank Supervisor Melgar for co-sponsoring this event alongside with the Human Rights Commission and Mayor Lurie. Please join us at the stage for the last photo. Thank you so much.